Pastor Jeff just spoke on Anchor One with regards to the life of the Christian, the Christian's life in terms of, in particular, in relationship to the church. We might say the Christian's present. The present reality of the Christian is that the Christian is living this life in union with and communion with his people, as we all live together in union with the Lord. One of the most difficult things for people to think about is the future. The future is both a scary and intriguing subject. Many people spend their nights awake because of the uncertainty of the future. Many a person has spent countless dollars on various different cheap tricks in order to bring some sort of certainty to the uncertainty of the future through consulting psychics and various different other things. The future is most definitely something that is quite scary if we think about it, because it's unknown. And while we may not know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, while we may not know what's going to happen to us a week from now or 2 weeks from now, either personally or societally or globally, from the standpoint of the Christian, from the standpoint of our dear brother Leonard, while we may not know exactly what's going to happen, we do know that the Christian has a sure and certain future. Mm-hmm. Our dear brother Leonard, well, he has passed and he is no longer with us in person, has a sure and certain future. Mm-hmm. While he has departed from us, from our midst, and as the scripture says, he is with the Lord, for to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. From our standpoint, there is also more to come. One of my favorite phrases that I've adopted in the last couple of years, just a little thing that I say when I have to face someone who has died, a brother or sister in Christ who has died, is until the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 3 gives us a perspective upon the Christian life and the Christian's future in terms of the way we think, in terms of what we set our minds upon. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4 tells us that gives us a command, and it tells us that we're to seek something. It tells us that we are to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, to set our mind not on things above, not upon things of the earth. People have taken this in all sorts of different ways to refer to some sort of a material versus immaterial thing that we think about, that we only concern ourselves with the spiritual and don't concern ourselves with the body, so to speak. In reality, this passage is giving us an exhortation to have our eyes upon a sure and certain future. A sure and certain future that has everything to do with resurrection. The apostle has just spent a significant amount of time in this letter exalting the sufficiency of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have seen that he is our king. We have seen that he ranks above everything that has been created, and that he himself is not created, or rather is himself the image of the invisible God who cannot be seen. We also see that in his death all of our sin has been taken care of, and in his resurrection we have been united to him and now have new life. But yet, as we walk through this life, as we walk day to day with one another, as Christians, in our life together, we find ourselves struggling. We find ourselves struggling with our own sin. We find ourselves struggling with pain. We find ourselves struggling with loss. We find ourselves struggling with suffering. We find ourselves struggling even with the burden of carrying our own cross. The apostle gives us this command here to keep our eyes on something. What he tells us to keep our eyes on is the reality of what is coming. Our service today is themed around this idea of a pilgrimage. There's the travel of the pilgrim, which Jeff spoke about, and then there is the destination of the pilgrim. One of my favorite works, The Pilgrim's Progress. The young Christian, that's his name in the book if you haven't read it, is told by evangelist that he needs, as he goes on his pilgrimage, to keep his eye on what he calls yon wicker gate. To keep his eye on that. And several times he took his eye off that yon wicker gate, and he ended up in a slough. He ended up in legalistic righteousness and some various different things. But he always whenever he put his eye back on yon wicker gate, he found himself able to continue to put one foot in front of the other. And that yon wicker gate for us, for Leonard, is what we call the hope of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You see, in this life, while we have tastes of the glory that is to come, we do not truly flourish in this life. Our hope is not our best life now. Mm-hmm. Our hope is not having everything we want at this moment. Rather, our hope is one of resurrection. And that resurrection is secured by and rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, those who are united to him, while they may die, will not stay dead. But will indeed rise from the dead, and body and soul shall be united and shall be in the fullness of new life, new resurrected life. That is the hope of the Christian. And that is that which we are to keep our eyes on. Because someone rose from the dead in the past, our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a sure and certain future. We experience sin, we experience hardship and suffering and heartache. And we will until the resurrection. But it is that hope of the resurrection that brings sanity in the midst of all that insanity. Mm-hmm. We're having this service today, this unique emphasis, because we've lost from our presence a dear friend and brother, Leonard. He has died. I still have a hard time saying that. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that Leonard had a hope in the future. Yes. He had a hope and a confident expectation of future glory and of future resurrection. And that confident expectation that he had, and still has in reality, and that we have, is rooted in the victory over sin and death. For we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 and following, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is the common thing that all of us fear. I think it's the one thing we fear more than the future, is death. None of us like death. I don't like the idea of my own death. I'm deeply saddened by the death of Leonard. But these scriptures give me a sense, a salve in the midst of that grief. And in the midst of the concerns I have about future death of loved ones that I know. In addition to our dear brother. George Eldon Ladd said something. It's an extended quotation. I'm going to read it. But it's something I meditate upon frequently. He says, "Everywhere one goes, he finds the gaping grave swallowing up the dying. Tears of loss, of separation, of final departure stain every face. Every table, sooner or later, has an empty chair. Every fireside, its vacant place." And just to interrupt, in our case, a church gathering with an empty spot. Death is the great leveler. Wealth or poverty, fame or oblivion, power or futility, success or failure, race, creed, or culture, all our human distinctions mean nothing before the ultimate irresistible sweep of the scythe of death which cuts us all down. And whether the mausoleum is a fabulous Taj Mahal, a massive pyramid, an unmarked forgotten spot of ragged grass, or the unplotted depths of the sea, one fact stands: death reigns. Apart from the gospel of the kingdom, death is the mighty conqueror before whom we are all helpless. We can only beat our fists in the futility against the unyielding and unresponding tomb. That's the human condition. But that's not all there is. Ladd continues. But the good news is this: death has been defeated. Our conqueror has been conquered. In the face of the power of the kingdom of God in Christ, death was helpless. It could not hold him. Death has been defeated. Life and immortality have been brought to light. An empty tomb in Jerusalem is proof of it. And the point of that is, and the point of what we see in 1 Corinthians 15, is because Jesus defeated death, all those who are united to him share in that defeat of death, share in his victory over death, and therefore death does not have the final say. We might say that ultimately death has died in the empty tomb at Jerusalem. So therefore, well, our dear brother has died. His own expiration will not be the final say. It shall not have the final word. Because death, yea, even his death, has been defeated. And he has a future day in which he shall rise gloriously from the death.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 4, the apostle brings words of comfort to the Thessalonians. In verses 13 through 18, his closing exhortation in that section is, "Therefore encourage one another with these words." And those words have everything to do with the hope of resurrection. You see, the Thessalonians had some sort of misunderstanding regarding those who had died, that somehow they had lost out on the hope of the resurrection. And he reminds them with this instruction that they have not missed out. As a matter of fact, they get to go first. They get to resurrect from the dead first. And then those who are alive at his return. It says, we shall all be caught up bodily. That's my explanation of the text, because of the resurrection. Shall be caught up with him together in the clouds to meet him in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. And that is together. So the words of comfort from that are that even though we lose loved ones, because they have a sure and certain future in Christ, it's not the last meeting time. Rather, we get to say to that person, until the resurrection. Amen. I'm going to, at the risk, without having previously cleared this with my wife, tell a little story. I received a phone call on Thursday from Leonard's niece, and I was with my wife and we were talking. And I answered the call. I didn't recognize it. She said, are you a person who knows Leonard Lyons? And I said, yes, I know Leonard. So she heard me say that. And then she said, well, she told me about his expiration. And of course, I didn't say anything. I said, oh, of course, I think Donna saw the color leave my face. Yes. And when they told about the funeral, I said, well, who's going to do it? At that point, she realized what the reality was in terms of the service. And of course, you know, just like I was on the phone, so I was tearing up a bit, and she, of course, teared up. And I walked out of the room to go finish the conversation, and then I called Jeff, and I called a couple of others, and I came back to comfort my wife, and she was in there singing with tears. But she was singing a song that I like to sing personally. Just at times, because I think I've picked up the song in my hospice work. The people there love it. It's a song, Do Lord, Do Lord. And one of the lines is, I've got a home in glory land. But I came in and she was singing, Leonard's got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. She came in and he was singing that. She was singing that because that's the reality. Is Leonard has a home in glory land that's coming to him. He's with the Lord, but there's far more to come. And so it is with us as well as we face our own death. Is that we have a home of resurrected life in glory land. In the presence of the greatest glory that has ever been. And so dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we grieve, let us tell ourselves and tell our brother, until the resurrection. And remember that hope. And remind each other of that sure and certain future that we have. Because the Christian has a future. And that future is bright. And that future is guaranteed. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. For his resurrection. We thank you for the hope that we have in the face of death. We thank you for the confident expectation that Leonard shall arise and stand with us in your presence in the glory of resurrection. And we ask, Father, that you would encourage us with these words as we process our grief. As we find ourselves driving in our cars and having a thought of Leonard and tearing up, may the hope of the resurrection temper that grief. Yes, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.